Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to our great big, and I am not exaggerating today. For once, I am not exaggerating. Great big Wednesday show. We got a couple of great guests with you, two brand new books out. Wonderful, wonderful books. Second hour, we'll have Joe Secor here to talk about his new book, Defying Gravity, How Choosing Joy Lifted My Family from Death to Life. You're not going to want to miss that because Joe's really good at giving very practical directions or guidance about how to choose joy in your life, which is something we are called to do. This hour, just one of the most important books to come out in recent years. We are so proud about this around here. And our first guest is Carlo Broussard. He's staff apologist here at Catholic Answers and a renowned public speaker, a very, energetic person. And his brand new book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, is right here in my hot little hand. Congratulations, Carlo.
Thank you, Si.
You're excited, I gather. You must be, right?
Amen. Yep. Amen, brother. I am so grateful to our blessed Lord for the opportunity to have written it and to publish it. I'm grateful to the whole Catholic Answers team here for all the help that they've offered me in publishing the book and all the help they're continuing to offer me in marketing it and helping it get it in people's hands. I'm just I'm humbled by it. I mean, because I tell you what, coming on at Catholic Answers, Si, I was not a writer.
You are now, bud.
Yes, I am. Whether I like it or not, right? Here we go. Time to ride this wave. So it was a huge learning curve and a great learning curve for me. You know, Todd Aglioloro, our editor, has just done tremendous work in working with me to help me massage the manuscript and get it to where it needed to be for publication. And it's just been such a fun process. And, you know, before I even got into apologetics, I used to do just speaking and not writing. I wasn't much of a writer, didn't really like writing. But as I've started writing, I've grown to love it. It's a great thing for me to do here at Catholic Answers, and I'm just enjoying every minute of it. And I hope to, get out there and speak on the book, to go to parish events and promote the book and speak on the various topics that are there that people can bring me to their events and I can speak on, as well as engaging with people about the book,
you're going to get a lot of that. I mean, I love that the subtitle, too. I mean, Prepare the Way, we know, comes from John the Baptist, preparing the way for the Lord.
Yeah.
But overcoming obstacles to God, the gospel, and the church, it's the obstacles. It just seems that there's so many obstacles in the world today, and I do think you are one of those people who takes joy in helping remove them, get them out of people's way, whether it's an intellectual objection to, say, God's existence, or a more emotional objection to just thinking that, the church
hates women.
Something like
homosexual
that.
Homosexual people or something like that.
Right. And we all have faced these obstacles. I mean, I suppose we know in some fundamental way who's putting these obstacles in the way. Amen. And who's doing that. And so why these three, though? I mean, it seems very orderly. Overcoming obstacles to God, the gospel, and the church. I forgot to give out the phone number. Let me do that before you answer that. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you prefer the spelled version, 888-31-TRUTH. If you have questions, maybe you have obstacles you'd like to talk with Carlo about. Maybe someone in your life has obstacles to believing in God, accepting the gospels, living as a member of the church. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. So why this? Why God, the gospel, and the church? Why those big three?
Well, God actually sort of embodies both truth and God. The gospel in the subtitle involves Jesus and Christianity combined.
Yeah.
So Jesus specifically, questions about Jesus himself, and then Christianity in general as a religion. And then, of course, the church applies to the Catholic Church in particular. But here's the thing, Si. For so long in the modern apologetics movement, which was ignited and started by our founder here at Catholic Answers, Carl Keating, the dialogue and the conversation centered around Catholic and Protestant dialogue, yes, or are centered around Catholic distinctives, you know, Mary, the papacy, and the saints. And those Catholic distinctives and that conversation is still prevalent today, and it will never go away, and it always needs to be discussed. However, in contemporary culture, we find ourselves rubbing elbows and shoulders, right, with unbelievers. And unbelievers have very good questions. Unbelievers have many obstacles that impede them from embracing the truth about objective truth, or the truth about God, right? The truth about Jesus, the truth about Christianity, and even certain obstacles they have with relative to the Catholic Church itself. You know, why should I belong to a church that's superstitious and all these boring rituals and all its wealth and it hates gay people and it hates, you know, women and yada, yada, yada. And so these are distinct obstacles that abound for unbelievers that are different in many ways from the obstacles that Protestants have.
Ah, right. So it's a whole different set.
What I wanted to do with this book was provide Catholics in particular, but it can also be used by Christians outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church, with sort of a teaching manual, a coaching manual, a catalog of the various obstacles that unbelievers face, and to teach and coach the reader with strategies consisting of Socratic questions to guide the dialogue along in order to remove those obstacles. Because there's not many books out there, at least within the Catholic world, that sort of catalog these common obstacles that unbelievers face. There are a plethora of books out there that catalog the obstacles that Protestants face.
Yes,
right?
I see.
And
right,
teaching Catholics to help remove those obstacles for Protestants. But my book, which I think is in some way unique in contributing to sort of the apologetics bookshelf, right, is to coach Catholics and other Christians as well in strategies on how to remove obstacles for unbelievers. So, for example, you may encounter someone who has a hard time embracing the idea of objective truth. You know, how can I believe in truth when people believe so many different things? And we've talked about that on this radio show in past episodes and on relativism. Mm-hmm. Or how can I believe in truth when it's intolerant to say somebody's wrong? You see?
Yeah.
People
right.
have an aversion to asserting something as true because they perceive they have this obstacle that to do so makes me an intolerant person or a bigot or a hater.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be labeled that because I want to be a good person, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So we as Catholics need to try and help people remove that obstacle as our Lord is approaching them to make straight that path. For some, they might acknowledge that, yeah, there is objective truth, Carlo, but science is the only reliable source of that objective truth, right? So we have to remove that obstacle as well in order to prepare a way for the next part of the book, namely the part about God and demonstrating his existence and removing certain obstacles to God. So how can I believe in God when there's so much evil? But before we can even remove those obstacles, we have to first establish truth does exist and that there is a tool by which we can assess reality other than science, namely philosophy. And that segues into the God part of the book. So we're preparing a way for truth, then we segue into preparing a way for God and answering all of those common objections or removing these obstacles to God that unbelievers face.
And then you get into preparing the way for Jesus, preparing the way for Christianity, and preparing the way for the church.
That's right.
And I want to get into some of those with you because as you know, from your visit to my office today, I keep your DVD, Your Truth, My Truth, on my desk.
CD, sorry.
Did I say DVD again? Oh, my gosh.
But you got the DVD, Why God Still Matters as well.
It doesn't matter. I hate when I make mistakes, Carlo.
Brother, you talking to a mistake maker here, my friend.
Well, I suppose. But part three, Prepare the Way for Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to get into that. So I really like this format. How can I believe in Jesus? When that? How can I believe in Jesus? Because that's how you and you do a whole series of seven of those, I think, and they're
the same format for the truth part, the
right.
God part, and all the other parts.
Okay, So I want to throw one at you.
Okay.
And if you want to talk to Carlo about obstacles Prepare the Way is the name of the book, but we're talking today about overcoming obstacles to God, the gospel, and the church. So we hear these various, and you cover in great detail several of the really most common objections to Jesus. But here's one that I do hear a lot. How can I believe in Jesus when he's nothing but a ripoff of pagan gods?
Right.
Like maybe, I don't know, Persephone or Osiris or these.
Or Mithras.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. So how can I believe in Jesus when he looks just like one of these pagan gods?
Yeah, this is very common within contemporary culture. It's what made the popular movie Zeitgeist that you can find on YouTube. This was the thrust of the argument of Zeitgeist. And so what I do in my book, Cy, is I offer three strategies. I coach you in three strategies that you can employ to try and remove this obstacle. The first strategy is to explain how there are several historical problems with asserting that the Jesus story and the details of his life are a ripoff of pagan mythology or pagan deities. And the first problem is that there is a marked difference between the verifiable historical data in the Gospels as opposed to pagan mythology. Yep. I mean, when you look at the Gospels, I mean, we're looking at details that are historically verifiable. All you got to do is just check out, like, for example, in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, the historical setting that Luke gives us. I mean, he's giving us a time period, the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. He's giving us names of rulers. He's giving us places that we can historically verify. And when you compare that with pagan mythology, in pagan mythology, you're reading about stories that are happening in heavenly places.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
One or two references to a place or an event, but there's no way to historically verify these stories, these events, these figures and characters. But within the gospel and with Jesus, man, they're rooting it in history. And that's the beauty of Christianity. This is a religion that we can historically verify. So that's one of the major historical problems with this assertion that Jesus is just a ripoff of pagan deities. And then fundamentally, it just rejects the whole mountain of evidence for the historical reliability of the Gospels, which I deal with, I think, in chapter 13 in the book, where I address the obstacle. I coach you on how to remove the obstacle. How can I believe in Jesus when I can't even trust the Gospels or the historical reliability of the Gospels? So that's one strategy. And then the other two strategies, number two, you want to show how the alleged similarities are exaggerated. And sometimes they're just simply not true. So, for example, one common parallel that's alleged is, you know, Jesus's birth, right? He was born of a virgin. So he, you know, the virgin birth compared to the virgin birth of Mithras, right? The pagan, the Roman pagan deity. But when you look into the evidence, you discover that with regard to Roman mythology, Mithras was born of a rock. He is the rock-born god. My friends, that is not a virgin birth.
I know.
That is not a parallel that is even worth considering. Also, it's alleged that there are parallels with Jesus' resurrection. So Jesus rose from the dead. The Egyptian deity Osiris rose from the dead.
Right.
But when you look into, according to Egyptologists, and you look into the evidence, you discover that Osiris never rose from the dead. In fact, he was the king of the underworld.
Yeah.
He was the god of the dead, you see? So he never even rose from the dead. So these are some of the parallels are exaggerated and sometimes not even true.
Right.
And then finally, the third strategy, Sai, that I coach you in is to show that even for argument's sake, even if there were similarities, just because there are similarities, it doesn't follow that there's causation going on.
Yeah.
Even if the details of Jesus' life did parallel certain details of pagan mythology and the pagan deities, it wouldn't follow from that premise that Jesus's story, the life story of Jesus, is a ripoff of pagan mythology. And then I give you a list of parallels between Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy and various parallels in their lives, and then ask the question, is one causing the other? Is one a ripoff of the other? Of course not. So these are three strategies that I coach you through in how to remove this obstacle.
I'm late going to the break, but I just want to say my favorite word in all that you just told us is coaching, because that's what this book is, really. It's like, if you want to have be prepared to charitably answer people who are facing an obstacle, here's how you can do that. These are not like beat people over the head with stuff and that. It's look, here's how we do that. Here are the responses. And I think that that's it's very charitable thing. Here's how you win these arguments.
Right.
That is not what this is about.
And the questions that guide the strategy, Cy, are not meant to be snarky.
No.
Like, I got you, right? They're meant to draw out ideas, expose certain fundamental assumptions that are flawed, and to guide the dialogue along.
Carla Broussard is our guest this hour. The book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. We'll be right back with your questions for Carla right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, Carlo Broussard here. Are you looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker to come and speak at your conference or parish event? If so, you're in luck. We've got a host of Catholic Answer speakers, including myself, just waiting to get on a plane and come see you. Just go to CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to make your event the talk of the town. That's CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com. We look forward to seeing you.
We live in an age of indifference. Does truth exist? Maybe. Is there a God? Who knows? Does it matter what religion you believe in? Probably not. If you think so, fine. I'm spiritual, but not religious. Apologist Matt Nelson says this indifference is the great spiritual sickness of our age, a product of the relativism that dominates our culture. And rather than remain indifferent, he did something about it. In his new book, Just Whatever, Matt looks at the different kinds of indifference you likely encounter in your friends and family members, and maybe in yourself, and offers an antidote to the problem that plagues our age. Order your copy of Just Whatever today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. This hour, Carlo Broussard is our guest. We're talking about his brand new book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And if you have questions about a particular obstacle to God, the Gospel, or the Church, this is your hour. Give us a call. I didn't say this before, Carlo, but they're giving if you order this book at shop.catholic.com, you're getting 15% off, of course, because it's the spring sale. But there's free shipping. And I don't even know how long the free shipping is going, but it is going. You get free shipping on Carlo's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And it's here. It's not like you're pre-ordering now. Oh, no. These are the real physical books.
Amen,
right,
brother.
Here in our hand.
We got it in our hands.
Yeah, we got it.
We were talking about it for quite some time.
We were. I was starting to doubt you, Carlo. I was like,
we finally got it.
My obstacle is belief in your book. I want to ask you some more about some of the chapters in your book, because I think it's great to do examples of it. But let's go to a call first. I don't want to, because sometimes I do that. I just take over and don't let the callers get in. And Tricia in Florida, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Thank you for listening there. Tricia, your question for Carlo.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I have a daughter who was raised in the church and studied at Franciscan University.
All right.
Where she met her husband. She studied under Dr. Bergsma and Scott Hahn and all the other phenomenal theologians there.
Right.
And about a year and a half ago, she told me that she and her husband no longer believe in God.
Wow.
And it was a shocking, devastating bit of information
sure.
to my husband and my other children and myself.
Right.
And initially I started talking to her about it, but I couldn't call forth one more bit of blasphemy out of her mouth by speaking any longer about it, because it was just awful. So because of her education, and I don't even know where to begin. She's two steps ahead of me, having
sure.
read the Church Fathers and all
right.
kinds of things, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Tricia, first of all, I'm sorry that you're having to go through this. I can only imagine. You know, my oldest is only 13 so far, so we're not having to deal with this issue yet. But I can only imagine how heartbreaking it is for your child to come, especially with that education, and come and say, well, I no longer believe in God. First of all, you know, I think you're wise in backing off, first of all, because, you know, as you seem to indicate that there, you know, you're struggling even talking with her because of the emotions that are flaring up, et cetera. So that's wisdom to back off, first and foremost, because once those emotional barriers go up, there's no good that can be done. You just have to back off, pray, and wait for other opportunities. So, Tricia, here's what I would advise. First of all, in conversation with her, has she ever articulated her reasons for rejecting the faith and rejecting God?
No. Initially, she was actually untruthful with me in some ways, and I had some information through friends of hers. So I'm presuming that she was afraid that my husband and I would think that her husband led her away from Christ. So she kind of meandered with truth there for a while,
right.
which gave us a little hope. But, you know, they have two children that they're actively
right.
teaching God does not exist to, which is
wow.
beyond devastating as a grandparent.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But well, like I said, I don't even know how to approach her because, you
yeah.
know, Jesus died for your sins. No,
right.
he did not. Like, I can't
sure.
call forth that sentence out of my daughter's mouth.
You know? Right, right. Well, you know, from her perspective, it's possible, Tricia, you know, that although objectively speaking, denying the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Catholic faith, objectively speaking, is a grave, serious matter. We don't know what's going on in her mind and what's going on in her heart. So just keep that in mind, Tricia, in order that you can at least have some sort of compassion toward her. You still want to, you can still be angry, you can still be frustrated and disappointed, but in order to not let those emotions cloud your judgment and your relationship with her, because we don't know exactly what's going on in her heart and mind. It's very reasonable, it's very possible that she's been presented with some argument for atheism against theism and Christianity that she simply was not equipped to address, and that led her to begin doubting her faith, which eventually led her to rejecting her faith. And so we don't know what's going on. Here's my suggestion to you. Number one, option A, you could roll up your sleeves and start reading philosophy, which deals with God's existence. Start reading classical Christian apologetics, which deals with the historicity of the Gospels and Jesus and his resurrection, in order for you individually to begin dialoguing with your daughter when those opportunities arise, so that you can give her a reason why we can claim Jesus died for our sins, because that presupposes the truth that he's God, and the fact that he's God and he offered his life for us, having an infinite value of sacrificial love, can merit for us the redemption of the human race. Without the truth that Jesus is God, that statement, Jesus died for our sins, means nothing if you don't first embrace the fact that Jesus is God. So my book, I have two sections in the book that comprises probably about 12 chapters worth that deal with Jesus, his claims to divinity, his resurrection, the truth of Christianity as a religion as a whole established by Jesus. That section might be helpful for your daughter concerning Jesus, but prior to that, I have a whole section on dealing with God, addressing intellectual obstacles that many face with regard to embracing the truth of God. So I would recommend my book, Tricia, Prepare the Way. That might be helpful for you to evangelize your daughter. And that would be option A for you to do it. But option B is if she's open to reading the material. If she's open to reading the material, you could give her my book and she could read through it, knowing that it's, you know, particularly coaching Catholics, but she could still read it and derive truth from it. But I'm going to have to finish that up on the other side of the break.
Tricia, don't go anywhere, because Carla said read the book or give the book. We got to give you the book then. So hang on. Carla's got more of an answer for you, and we want to make sure we get your address to send you the book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel and the Church, the brand new book from Carlo Broussard. We'll be right back with more of your questions for Carlo and his answers after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate, because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Can you trust the basis of the Christian faith? The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if your faith is based on a myth? The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, often attacking the reliability of the New Testament and the Gospels. And the sad news is that most people don't know how to answer these charges. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of them. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, The Dawn of Christian History. With his characteristic wit and passion as a master storyteller, Jimmy takes you through an exciting detective story that reveals how history supports the Christian faith. Order your copy of The Dawn of Christian History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Interested in visiting Catholic Answers? If you live in or plan to visit beautiful Southern California, we'd love to have you come by for a tour. You can meet our apologists and staff, visit our chapel, and watch the broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. To arrange a tour, call us at 619-387-7200 or email us at visit@catholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Carlo Broussard, apologist here at Catholic Answers, speaker extraordinaire, and the author of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel and the Church, which we are giving a free copy to everybody who gets through on the line today. And that number, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We went to the break. Carlo, you were talking with Tricia, whose daughter has espoused atheism along with her husband, and is teaching that to their children, which admittedly is a very painful situation. But you wanted to continue your answer to her.
Yeah, Tricia, are you still there?
I am.
Okay, so just very briefly, as I was saying before the break, you can either roll up your sleeves, do the work yourself in order for you to prepare yourself, in order to prepare a way for your daughter by reading the material. You can get my book. We also have a great resource here at Catholic Answers called Answering Atheism by my colleague and good friend Trent Horn, which deals with various objections that atheists propose to theists and other arguments for God's existence that aren't in my book. So I would encourage you to get a hold of that book as well. And also, too, I would encourage you to check out a website that is sort of the digital Areopagus of Catholics and atheists and dialogue, and that's strangenotions.com. A plethora of good articles there for you to read up on how to dialogue with atheists, with agnostics, with skeptics to Christianity. So these are some resources that you personally can get a hold of to train yourself to engage in dialogue with your daughter and your son-in-law. Or you can send your daughter and your son-in-law to those resources and say, hey, I came across these resources. If you're open to it, you know, check it out, see what you think, and then get back to me. And if you have some questions, you can just tell her, listen, if you got some questions, ask me, because I know where to go to get the answer. You call Catholic Answers. Okay, Tricia?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I don't think she's open at this time.
That's okay. And that's okay. Be patient. Yeah. Just be patient with that. You know, we don't want to force it on her because that's going to do no good. Just be prayerful. Be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to always be with you, looking for those opportunities to when she does open the door a bit, that you can walk in when she invites you to begin offering and extending that invitation for her to consider these resources. So just always be on the lookout.
Tricia, thank you for that call. Can we include a copy of Answering Atheism for Tricia? Can we? No, Nick says yes.
Awesome.
I don't know if Nick has the authority to say yes, but Nick just said yes, so she's going to get it. You know what I wanted to ask you about, because you have an actual chapter about this in the book. Did you hear about this thing with GQ Magazine says the Bible is not worth reading because it's boring? And
no, I didn't hear about it until you told me.
It says the Bible is sententious.
Oh, wow.
And you know what I had to do?
I had to look up
sententious. The Bible is not sententious. And it also says the Bible is contradictory, you know,
right.
So don't bother reading it. That's what GQ said. And I think, you know, sometimes you almost don't want to mention those things because you think they're just trying to get people to go to the website or buy a copy. And so, but chapter 26 in your book, in part 4, Prepare the Way for Christianity, you say, or you start with a question, as you do with every single chapter: how can I be a Christian when the Bible is full of contradictions? That would be a good chapter to send to the people at GQ.
Yeah, amen. And there, once again, I walk you through three strategies, and I'm not going to go into all of them here, but it's important to note, like, for example, you can explain to your friend that might be dealing with this obstacle that even if, hypothetically, there were real authentic contradictions, right, in the Gospels, that wouldn't automatically negate their general reliability. It would only prove that this author or that author would get that detail wrong. It wouldn't follow from that we have to throw out the entire Gospel and everything else he said just because of one or a few contradictions. So that's the first point we need to make. And then, more importantly, here's what's key, Si, and one of the strategies that I bring out in strategy 2, and that is this. Let's say, once again, for argument's sake, there are several contradictions within the Gospels. Historians have a way in which they can navigate through ancient text to evaluate a particular saying or a particular event in order to determine whether or not that saying or that event is historically reliable. And the criteria that they use are called the historiographical criteria, multiple mm-hmm. attestation, the criterion of embarrassment, the criterion of coherence or dissimilarity, and on down the list. There's about 8 different criteria that historians use in order to determine if a saying or an event or this particular text in an ancient document is historically reliable. So hypothetically, Si, if there are several contradictions in the Gospels, historians can still look to specific things Jesus said, specific events in Jesus's life, and come to the conclusion that those things he said about himself, namely his God, that thing he did that demonstrates he is God, namely his resurrection, are historically reliable, which still gives enough evidence, good historical evidence, for a skeptic to reasonably respond to the evidence and give his life over to Jesus, to say, yeah, Jesus is God, he rose from the dead, so I'm going to give my life over to him. The problem of all the contradictions is sort of an in-house problem when we're dealing with the inerrancy of Scripture, free from error, etc. But even if there were contradictions, given the historiographical criteria and authenticating, determining the historicity of certain sayings and events of Jesus, one still could give his life over to Jesus and be a Christian. But that's if. That's a major hypothetical.
Right, right.
That's a big word.
If, yes, right that's there, right. Right. But if you sometimes if you concede a point just for the purpose of argument, you can show that there's nothing there.
It would not be a reason to reject Jesus or even Christianity as a whole. They still could give their life over to Jesus and be and claim to be a Christian.
Yeah, which is a good thing to do. You should give your life over to Jesus.
Amen
and claim
to that.
To be a Christian. Stephanie in Stony Creek, Ontario, listening on the iCatholic Radio app. You are on with Carlo Broussard. Stephanie, your question.
Oh, Carlo, thank you for taking my call. And I'm listening intently as you're going through and answering these other callers' questions. And I just quickly before I go into mine, I just want to say I can agree entirely with what you just said there about how skeptics can act. And I really like your wording on saying give your life over to Jesus, because I was actually a revert back to the faith, and it was just a matter of, from a skeptical standpoint, I was just trying on some of the teachings that were presented to me with, like, great reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just... it was just a matter of fact that, you know, even before I got all of the big C's that I needed, I was there, and I got there
in
that regard.
And that's the beauty of apologetics. And point by point, you come to a point to where you have good reason to give your life over to our Lord.
Yeah, definitely. And anyway, you kind of answered my question a bit from the other caller.
Okay.
So I was wondering, just in the languaging of what you're using here, you know, overcoming objections, strategies, these kinds of things. You know, these kinds of terms, sometimes people can get a bad sense in their mind or in their heart about those kinds of words. So if I were to take this book and give it to somebody, because I'm not going to be able to get through it right away, someone who seems really, an avid reader, but not quite convinced on many of the issues that you're bringing up, would it be problematic if I handed it to them, or would it be better for me to read it myself before rather than giving it?
Stephanie, no, this is a great question, and this was a fundamental dilemma that I faced when I set out to begin writing the book, because the question was, you know, which audience do I want to write the book for? Do I want to write it as a giveaway book, or do I want to write it for the sake of coaching Catholics and also Christians outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church in order to engage in the dialogue and prepare the way? And we at Catholic Answers chose to go with the latter audience. So the book is ordered toward you, the Catholic, or you, the Christian out there who is not a Catholic, coaching you in these strategies with Socratic questions to guide the dialogue alone. Now, if you discern that the person you're evangelizing would be open to reading a sort of coaching manual for Catholics and be able to look past that and just focus on the arguments themselves to substantiate our various positions, well, then by all means, you could give the book to them and they could go through it. But if you discern that that would be a distraction and a turnoff for the person, well, then, Stephanie, I would recommend that you do what you can to work through it yourself so that you can learn the arguments and begin adapting the arguments to your own way of thinking, your own style, how you speak, and how you engage in dialogue with people. But just the arguments are there for you to assimilate, and then you can be the channel through which that truth is communicated to others to remove those obstacles and prepare the way for our Lord.
How's that, Stephanie?
Okay, yeah, that's great. And thank you so much for doing that and making that kind of resource available to us. That's going to be
You're welcome,
cool.
Stephanie.
For a lot of us.
Did
Please
you
pray
give,
for us. Did you already give your address to the call screener so we can
I
send
did.
You a copy
I
of the book?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Thank you. And thanks be to God. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah,
thanks
for calling from Canada.
Fantastic.
888-318-7884, the number. Carlo Broussard, our guest. We are discussing Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, the brand new book from Carlo that coaches you in how to help others overcome their own obstacles, either to believing in God, to accepting faith in Christ or to living out that faith as a Christian and within the Catholic Church, all that. Go ahead, Carl. You want to say something?
Yeah, and I think it's important for our listeners to know that, you know, the chapters are fairly short chapters. They're little mini essays. So there's 34 chapters in all, right,
yeah,
with four appendices. But the chapters are short, you know, so it's good, easy reasoning, that too, but good, easy reading, you know,
yeah,
so you can read a short chapter within, you know, 15 minutes or so, learn these strategies, you're equipped and you're ready. And I tell you what, Si, God is amazing in that he always leads me to the right information that I need at the right time.
Yeah.
So often in my life, I've read some sort of argument, read some sort of article addressing a question, and then next thing I know, I'm in a dialogue with somebody,
and
it's
like,
there's the question, now I got the answer, and yeah, I'm able to remove those obstacles for folks.
You know, God is so powerful that he got you to write a book with short chapters.
Well, I would even go further and say God is so powerful he got me to write a book.
We'll be right back with more. Carlo Broussard, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church is the book. And your question, more of your questions after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, Carlo Broussard here. Did you know that you can arrange for me and a host of other on-fire Catholic Answers speakers to speak at your conference or parish event? Here's how you do it. Go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com and you'll find all the information that you need to book me or our other great speakers. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com. We look forward to seeing you.
Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite and inform your faith.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
And I'm having the time of my life.
Early bird pricing ends July 2nd. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. Sayings like these are such a part of tradition that we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers, even though nobody can seem to place their origin. By sheer repetition, they have acquired a halo of truth. In What the Saints Never Said, Trent Horn takes over 40 of these well-known but actual dubious sayings and attempts to track them to their true source. The result? He finds some that are close to what was really said, many that were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few that were just plain made up. By setting the record straight, Trent roots out theological errors that can lead us away from Christian truth and offers authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to that truth. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Carlo Broussard, our guest. Lots of people on the line, Carlo. And so let us – don't make me laugh right when I'm trying to introduce you and your book, Carlo. Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church is the book. And Mary in Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio, is next up. Mary, your question for Carlo.
Hi. Yes, I have a question about how I can help my brother with kind of an obstacle that he's having.
Okay.
He was an atheist, and he's an avid reader, and
right,
he read Plato, I guess, and now
wow,
has decided that there is a God, but he has trouble with the idea of a personal God versus an impersonal God,
okay,
who describes himself as a deist.
Okay.
So I was just wondering if you could help me with some things that I might be able to say to him or resources I could give to him that could help him kind of overcome that obstacle.
Yeah, Mary, this is fantastic. This is this, one of my favorite topics that I love talking about, right, Si, is yes. natural theology, philosophical theology. So first of all, Mary, I would encourage you, well, since you're calling, you get a free copy of my book, right?
That is correct.
And in chapter 6, I give a philosophical demonstration for God's existence. And Mary, here's how that particular proof for God works for you in your situation dealing with, I think you said, your brother, right?
My brother.
Yes, okay. So here's the thing. In the proof, Mary, what I demonstrate is that when we look at reality, such as the tree outside, or Fido the dog, or even Si right here sitting before me, right? We notice that things don't exist necessarily. And in the philosophical jargon, we say they don't have existence by nature. Like, it doesn't belong to their nature to exist. Like, three straight sides belongs to the nature of a triangle. Existence doesn't belong to the nature of the things of our experience, because they come into existence, they go out of existence, they don't exist necessarily. And what I show you in the proof, Mary, is that at any moment these things exist, they necessarily, reason demands, metaphysically speaking, that they be sustained in existence right here and right now, and at every moment they exist, by some cause outside of themselves. And then we ask, well, is that cause, does that cause have existence by nature or not? If not, it's going to need a cause to sustain it in existence. And we're off to this postulation, or this hypothetical series of these caused causes that are all acting simultaneously to sustain the existence of the tree outside, Fido the dog, Si, the radio host of Catholic Answers Live, and Carlo Broussard. And here's what we conclude, Mary. Here's what I show you in the argument. Reason demands that all of reality cannot consist of these types of caused causes, causes that don't have existence by nature. There must be what we call in philosophy a first cause. And what that means, Mary, is that there must be a cause that does have existence by nature. It doesn't receive it from something outside of itself. It has it by its very nature, where its nature and existence is identical. And it is that cause that at every moment the tree exists, that cause is ultimately responsible for that tree's existence. So much so that if that cause, whose nature and existence is identical, the uncaused cause, as St. Thomas Aquinas would say, that without that cause's causal activity, without that cause sustaining the tree in existence, the tree would lapse into nothingness, you see, would go out of existence. And this is key to helping your brother who is a deist, because a deist affirms that there is a God who exists, but he leaves the world to itself and is not involved with it and sustaining it in existence. Where what this philosophical proof shows, Mary, is that the uncaused cause that we reason to, namely God, is the one who sustains everything that exists outside of himself in existence, without which those created things would lapse into nothingness. And so that shows that deism is false, but the classical understanding of theism is true. There is an uncaused cause that exists, that at every moment things existing outside of the uncaused cause are sustained in existence by that uncaused cause, which we call God. So I go into more detail in the book, Mary, but I think that would be helpful for you. And one final note, Mary, you need to send your brother to get – you need to encourage your brother to get a hold to the works of a philosopher by the name of Edward Fazer. He has a great new book by Ignatius Press that came out, Five Proofs of the Existence of God. And Mary, if your brother's an avid reader, I guarantee you he will enjoy that book, if not, change his mind and convert to theism.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And that's a great book recommendation as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate that call. Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel and the Church is the book from Carlo Broussard, the brand new book from Carlo Broussard here at Catholic Answers. Those who get on the line with Carlo today are getting a free copy of the book. If you want a copy of the book, just go to shop.catholic.com where it's 15% off and you're getting free shipping for the foreseeable future. Get over there and get it. It's a good one. John in Orlando, Florida, watching on Facebook Live. Thanks for joining us on Facebook, John. Your question for Carlo.
Thank you for your work. I can imagine a non-believer saying, well, okay, Christianity is not a myth, but what if it's half historical, half tall tale, kind of like American tall tales? How would you respond to that, I'm wondering?
Yeah, well, John, that's an excellent question, because this appeals to the idea of legendary developments, right? There might be some kernel of truths about Jesus and his life story, but over the years when the Gospels were written, there were legends that had developed. And here's how you would respond. And I actually deal with this, John, in the book, in the chapter on establishing the historical reliability of the Gospels. And the point that you would want to emphasize is that the gospel writers, John, wrote in very close temporal proximity to the events that they are recording, within 30 to 60 years. So the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are writing within and right at 30 years removed from the events they're recording. John's writing later in the first century, about 60 years removed from the events that they're recording. And what that tells us, John, is that in particular for the synoptics, they are writing at a time when eyewitnesses would still have been alive in order to corroborate and verify what they're telling their audience in their written documents. So if they're portraying or communicating certain legends, those eyewitnesses would have been saying, hey, no, that didn't happen. That's a, you know, you're fudging the truth there. You're enhancing the truth. You're exaggerating, etc. So the close temporal proximity for the Gospels is key to addressing that question. There is not enough time for legendary developments to occur, given the 30-year time span from the events and the events that they're recording. The time span between the events and the original autographs of the synoptics recording those events. So that's how I would address that. What do you think of that?
Excellent. And what do you think about the Gospel of John? Does that apply there too?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very reasonable that when John is writing in the late first century, you could still have John himself was an eyewitness, right? So, I mean, when John was with the ministry of Jesus, he was a younger man than the other gospel writers. But, I mean, at the time when John is writing, late first century, he's an eyewitness. So it's very reasonable to conclude that there would have been other eyewitnesses available as well who would have been within his age range in order to limit the possibility of legendary developments. And here's one last thing, John, to ponder. Many Christian scholars and historians say that it normally takes two generations before legends begin to develop. And Craig Evans, a Christian apologist, is very keen on this. And what's interesting, John, is that that's exactly when you start seeing the Gnostic Gospels pop up, which include legendary developments about Jesus.
Right.
And so the synoptics and John's gospel are written within a time frame where there's not enough time for legendary developments. So that gives us good reason to approach the gospels with what we call a hermeneutic of trust rather than suspicion because of the close temporal proximity. And then you could put the nail in the coffin and say, well, two of the four gospel writers were eyewitnesses themselves. And according to standards for ancient literature and their historical reliability, that's gold.
How's that, John?
Nice.
Nice. You got a nice, nice. Thanks, John.
Fantastic.
We're going to send you the book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. There's several people on the line who I do not believe we're going to get to speak to, but I'm going to make an executive decision. Can we give them, if we get their addresses, can we make sure they get the book, whether they got on
the air or not? We got some two thumbs up from the producer
all right.
There, man.
Aline is taking calls, and she is so efficient. She's already gotten everyone's address. She's probably already sealed the envelopes and sent the books off, even as she takes calls. Carlo, again, congratulations on Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles.
Thank you, sir.
God, the Gospel, and the Church. Yay.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah, where are you going to be now? You're going to be going on any trips, talking some, or you're doing the God Cruise?
Yeah, the God Cruise. That's right. Next week, I'm going on a cruise out of Long Beach with Heart of Mary and Acts Ministries. It's a retreat at sea. Following that, immediately I go to Kelowna, British Columbia, up in Canada. So speak out of high school there. And then I got this Institute of Catholic Culture two-part webinar on Aquinas' Five Ways, May 15th and May 22nd. And that would be good for some of the callers today who are calling in about atheism.
It would indeed. And if you want to hear Carlo talk about the one thing he wants to talk about more than anything else, you can 2 days with him talking about Aquinas' Five Ways. You'll love it.
4 hours worth.
So you'll probably just get through the first way.
Yeah.
Carlo, thanks again.
You're welcome, Si. God bless you, brother.
You too. Coming up next hour, Joe Sikora is here, my good friend Joe Sikora, with his new book, Defying Gravity, about his life with his wife, with his two sons, and his dealing with the serious disability of his two sons and finding joy in all of it. How do you find joy? You choose joy. Join Joe right after this on Catholic Answers Live.